I mean, the negative impact of this cancer is profound, as you as you started the conversation off with. We don't want to stop at one option or two options or even three options. We have got to, as a scientific community and as a public health community, keep coming at this problem from every possible direction with every possible solution. There are just too many people at risk that are not willing to get screened or don't know that they need to get screened. And then they just think we need options. We need everything, everything possible out there.
You're listening to Further Together, the ORAU podcast. Join Michael Holtz and his guests for conversations about all things ORAU. They'll talk about ORAU's storied history, our impact on an ever-changing world, our innovative scientific and technical solutions for our customers, and our commitment to the communities where we do business. Welcome to Further Together, the ORAU podcast.
Welcome to Further Together, the ORAU podcast. As ever, it is me, your host, Michael Holtz from the Communications and Marketing Department at ORAU, and it is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. As a colorectal cancer survivor myself, this would be the high holy days of cancer awareness for me, and I am thrilled to have a couple of friends with me on the podcast this episode, talking about new technology and new detection methods for colorectal cancer and other cancers. My friends Eric Meyer and Jessica Etheridge from New Day Diagnostics are with me. Eric and Jessica, welcome so much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for having us, Michael. It's a pleasure.
It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to be talking to you. We've known each other for a few years through a name change of the company or two, whatever. But there are exciting days ahead for early detection and prevention of cancer. New Day is on the front lines of that. And hopefully we get to talk about a little bit of what's going on. But first, Eric, if you would talk about what New Day Diagnostics is.
No, that's a great question. New Day Diagnostics is a cancer diagnostics company. We believe wholeheartedly that if you catch diseases early, there's a bright new day ahead of you. Thus the name. You know, we want to empower patients with more accessible options, starting with colorectal cancer screening. We can find this disease earlier and get the correct patients to go to a confirmatory colonoscopy or get the correct patients into a treatment if they need it, and give that physician and that individual an empowering tool that they don't currently have or a new option that they don't currently have. New Day as a company, you know, has a deep history in colorectal cancer research and research in other disease areas. We have a robust pipeline of other diagnostics in oncology, in infectious disease, in moving into women's health and in digestive disease. You know, the goal is to get as close to the patient as you can and make sure that there are great options for those individuals to live healthier lives.
I love it. And of course, if you detect cancer earlier, treatment is easier. You actually live and live longer. All of those great things. So I love what New Day is doing and what you all stand for. And I understand that when I was diagnosed, I was part of an early research trial, I guess, of the blood test, because my sample was used in the early days of the development of your blood test. So that's also exciting.
That's absolutely correct. You know, Michael, you kind of introduced that we've known each other as people for the last few years, but we actually knew you as a number. We didn't know it was you, but as a blood tube sample for sitting in the freezer about 10, 12 years ago. You know, and these things take a long time to research, to develop, to go through the clinical studies, to prove safety, to prove effectiveness. And, you know, we're on the cutting edge, but that started 10 plus years ago to get to this point.
Absolutely. And it's really exciting and so necessary. I mean, the numbers, the latest statistics around colorectal cancer are alarming and astounding, right? I mean, when you think about the fact that colorectal cancer is the number one cancer killer of people under the age of 50, under the age of 50, colorectal cancer used to be an old person's disease. That's not true anymore. I should correct that. It's the number one cancer killer of men under the age of 50, number two among women, but on the fast track to be really the number one cancer killer overall. We have been talking about in cancer advocacy world, the number one cancer killer of people under 50 by 2030, but here we are, it's 2024. It's happening much faster than even experts had predicted. So it's a little scary out there.
It's happening here in the United States with younger and younger individuals. It's happening globally as lifestyles and diets change, even in developing nations. They're seeing high incidence of colorectal cancer continuing to spike. And you're absolutely right. Right now, the guidelines for screening are to start at 45. Mm-hmm. Used to start at 50. And we're very pleased and happy that the needle is moving earlier and earlier. That said, folks that are, you know, I just turned 40. I had a colonoscopy performed 3 years ago. I do have family history of many cancers on my mom's side of the family. I know early detection is how you get ahead of these things, but I was not in the screening guidelines. That procedure was not reimbursed. I had to pay for that out of pocket. And folks that are our age need an option. They need something they can do effectively, efficiently, and that they'll do every year so that we can catch something as early as possible.
Absolutely. And not be gaslighted, right? About, you know, your symptoms could be this or it could be that, you know, and like, just do the screening test, whatever that is, you know, hopefully it's eventually a blood test that makes it easy, but do the test so that we can at least, at the very least, rule it out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a cancer that grows fairly slowly over time. By the time you have symptoms, it's already in typically later stage. And that's not always the first thing that a primary care doc is going to think. They're going to think, let's look at IBS, let's look at IBD, let's look at other reasons that you may be having, you know, gastro symptoms. And, you know, those kinds of things, in our opinion, are standard of care. That's exactly what the physician should be doing. But if we can have a better option earlier, and it's not a hope anymore, it's happening right now. The New Day blood test, ColoHealth, is launching in March for Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. So this will be accessible to patients and individuals by the end of the month.
That is exciting. I love hearing that, and it's kind of breaking news. Ish.
This is the first on the podcast.
So that's exciting. Eric, how long has it taken to get here? I know you've mentioned years, but I mean, it's clearly been over a decade, 12 years in the works to get to the point that we are today.
It has been. And prior to that, the company that started in Knoxville was called EDP Biotech, Early Detection Products. That company was founded in 2005. So we're going on nearly 20 years of underlying primary research. I came to the company in 2015. So almost 10 years of moving the direction of going from research into development into clinical practice very soon here.
So how did you get to become part of EDP and now New Day?
Well, personally, it was a bit of an accident. I came from Raleigh, North Carolina. I was in cancer research at UNC Chapel Hill at the Leinberger Comprehensive Cancer Center. I did my undergraduate research there, went into diagnostics in Research Triangle Park, And then my wife, girlfriend at the time, wife now, got an opportunity at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, go Vols. And we packed up and moved to Knoxville, Tennessee in 2011. I met the company founder here at EDP Biotech within the first week of boots on the ground in Tennessee. The gentleman had started the cancer research company in 05, had spun out a veterinary genetics company in 08. And I actually started working on both right away and just continued my journey since then.
Awesome. And then our paths crossed 5 or 6 years ago. It's been a minute for sure.
Slept a few nights since then.
That's exactly right. But it's been exciting to follow and watch the progress, and you know, especially as you know, great work is being done to make these tests more accessible, easier to do. You know, we know people love that colonoscopy, right? They hear the nightmares about the prep, and they don't want to have to endure that. And you know, while prep has certainly gotten easier, you know, the easier choice isn't a choice that everyone gets, at least not yet. And you know, it's still an invasive procedure, and a blood test is definitely much, much easier to do. So the easier we can make it, the more accessible we can make those tests, the more,
and that's our philosophy,
we're going to do them, right?
Absolutely. The best screener is one that somebody will take, and colonoscopy is the gold standard. It will remain the gold standard. You know, a trained physician with his two eyes will find small masses and small polyps and colorectal cancers, and then can begin treatment. Our job is to raise the red flag in early screening and say, these are the people that need to go to colonoscopy. And you know, that's exactly the way we're going to create that accessibility and drive better patient outcomes, reduce mortality, reduce incidence rates, is by finding those polyps in their earliest state, sending those patients to confirmatory colonoscopy where the physician can resect and cut those polyps out before they progress to cancer. This is a preventable cancer, one of the few preventable cancers. So let's get on the forefront of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we detect it early, if we, you know, get folks taken care of early, it's less expensive. It's, you know, more people live, you know, all of those things. You know, I, as you know, spend a lot of time in the cancer community with, you know, other advocates and other cancer survivors. And, you know, in my experience, I was lucky. I mean, I was diagnosed at 43. I did first line treatment works. I was diagnosed stage 3B, rectal cancer, and first line treatment worked for me. But I know so many people who they're incurable. They're, you know, they'll be doing chemo for the rest of their lives, you know, whatever that looks like. And if we can avoid that with, you know, a simple blood test, with catching it early so that it's not progressed, and at younger age, you know, if we can give these tests to people in their 20s and their 30s so that they don't have to endure, you know, long treatments, you know, and 144 chemo sessions and, you know, all of that. I mean, it's... the quality of life and the quantity of life and the expense that can be spared if we can get this thing under control.
That's right. And, you know, we always think of cancers in general as very complex biological systems. There's never going to be one single magic bullet cure. You know, these are many diseases by many different, you know, genetic and environmental and behavioral factors that cause them in many different organs. So, you know, we want to focus on the one that we believe is going to make the biggest impact to start off. As you said, with the colorectal cancer incidences rising in certain populations, with here in the Appalachia region of Tennessee, we have higher than the rest of the United States incidence of colorectal cancer. And there's data showing that this annual blood test, this specific annual blood test, when done annually, averts more CRC cases and averts more CRC deaths per 1,000 people screened than other modalities. So as a screening tool, we believe this is going to make a humongous human impact, and the economic impact that follows as healthcare costs are rising. Let's figure out how to get those down. A simple, cost-effective blood test is one such solution.
It's amazing. It really is. In terms of course, you know, insurance drives everything in coverage. What do people need to know about coverage for the test?
So right now we are working on coverage. Okay. It is going to be an out-of-pocket, but we wanted to make the out-of-pocket pay acceptable to most people. So we are going to launch this test at $199 to start off. We know there are other blood tests out there that are $500 to $1,000. You know, those are not, in our opinion, accessible to most patients.
Right.
But we are working with private payers, the Medicare, Medicaid. There is a CPT code. We're working to get that reinstated. So, you know, hang with us a couple more months. Hopefully we'll have the coverage. But to start off, to get this out to the patient population that needs it, here in the Appalachia and in the sort of the Knoxville and regional, you know, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, et cetera, you know, the Southeast region, we're going to start off here in March under the self-pay model.
Gotcha. For those of us who are cancer advocates and spend a lot of time working on policy, which I, you know, have spent years, what can we do to help, you know, get this test covered and make sure that it's truly accessible to everyone?
Well, I will turn that over to Jessica. She just spent most of this week in Nashville on Day on the Hill with Life Science Tennessee, meeting with policymakers and legislators.
Yeah, it was a really interesting experience. It was very impactful to sit down and talk with the legislators, one after the other, with a group of us from Life Science Tennessee, just highlighting the bills that were coming through that were related to the work that we were doing. And so early diagnosis is a really big one. Just bringing it to their awareness that these are things that we're doing in Tennessee. We're developing tests to diagnose things earlier, to identify them earlier. And pointing out where the possible funding issues are or things with Medicare and Medicaid. I think that the cutoff for sensitivity, the sensitivity is where we are right now is just beneath the threshold, just beneath it for what their standard acceptability is in terms of what they'll cover. You know, maybe advocating for more due diligence and whether or not that is the number to be at. Diagnostics are a place where we can really, really, really make an impact in disease. You know, we're catching it before it's needing cures, it's needing treatment. And I think just generally having the awareness to our lawmakers that the diagnostic space is one to be paying attention to, supporting and advocating for on all fronts is really where we need to be having the conversation to begin with.
Awesome. Well, I know for patients like me, if there's anything I can do to raise my voice, you know, to help make any of that happen, you know, I'm happy to do it. I have no doubt there are others that I can bring to the table as well. I just, you know, believe in my heart and soul that, you know, early detection and prevention is critical. I know too many people who are, who have passed away, who are, you know, fighting this long term. And you know, all of that is unacceptable, personally unacceptable to me. It shouldn't be that way. in, you know, the world that we're living in today. So the fact that there is a test that, you know, is epically beneficial, that can catch, you know, this early, that can save lives, is incredibly heartening, and I think will be exciting for a lot of people to learn about. So I look forward to you learning more and seeing results as things move along and as the test becomes available to folks.
That's right. We're starting right here in our hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee. We're expanding out, you know, regionally in the Southeast. And then we are also working with, you know, several partners nationwide. Can't mention any names yet. Sure. But over the next 6 to 12 months, this will be available throughout the United States. And, you know, and you and Jessica perfectly hit the nail on the head. You know, there is a disconnect, I think, at the federal level. When the FDA approves something and says, yes, this is safe, yes, this is effective, this works, it's FDA approved. Mm-hmm. But yet we cannot create accessibility by allowing individuals to actually, you know, get reimbursed for taking the screening test. That is an unfortunate disconnect that we need to work on together with Absolutely. The advocacy groups. And let's just keep pushing for early detection. We know that's going to save people's lives.
Absolutely. Well, wherever I can help, wherever I can bring folks to the table, happy to do that, because accessibility is important. You know, we know that, you know, there are certain populations, you know, Black and Brown people who have, you know, are disproportionately at higher risk, and particularly higher risk of death from colorectal cancer. But they also don't have the same level of accessibility to the gold standard colonoscopy. So, you know, whatever we can do to level the playing field, and this test does that, you know, it levels the playing field and can get into the hands of everybody, then let's do everything we can to make that happen. So,
well, Michael, this right here helps. This is awareness. This sends the message out. You know, Jessica's been working diligently on our awareness campaigns that'll go direct to consumer as well as to physicians and providers. So stay tuned. The month of March, we're going to get a lot of info out. And that's the whole goal. If we can raise awareness so that individuals out there know to advocate for themselves, even when they go into their annual physical, hey, let's talk about this. This is not something that we should be embarrassed to talk about just because it's our rear ends, you know?
Absolutely.
Let's get that awareness out and yeah, you know, keep an eye out. We got to meet the patient where they are. So social media campaigns, Jessica's promoting, you know, we're going to be on Facebook. We're going to be on LinkedIn. We're going to be where the patients go to get the information.
You know, you touch on an important point, because there is such a stigma around colorectal cancer and the body parts that are involved, right? We don't like to talk about the fact that, you know, literally everybody poops. Everybody. We all do. We all have butts. We all have, you know, we all have colons. We all have rectums. You know, mine looks a little different now because I have a permanent colostomy, but it still works just, you know, the same way everyone else's does. But there's this inherent fear and embarrassment of talking about what happens in the bathroom. And we need to get over that. We need to, you know, be able to say, you know, there's blood in my stool. There's, you know, I'm not feeling well, but, you know, I'm bloated. I have cramps. I have, you know, and a lot of those symptoms, you know, are signs of late stage, you know, diagnosis, unfortunately, but we need to be able to talk about the fact that there's stuff going on in our bodies that we're not going to be aware of. And if getting a blood test makes you live longer because you're detecting something early, by all means, let's make that happen. But you know, I think, again, we have to stop being ashamed of talking about, you know, what happens
and
in our underwear areas, as they say.
Yeah. hopefully really even just having another option, blood test as an option, makes the conversation more approachable. What we are seeing in a lot of research out there is just for patients to have multiple options in ways that they can test and screen opens them up to the possibility. And I think this idea even lends itself to what you're saying about having uncomfortable discussions. Maybe it's easier for me to go into my doctor and say, I'm having stomach problems and I noticed there was a blood test for colorectal cancer screening. Like, it's just an easier conversation than this really overwhelming idea. You know, we hear so many difficult stories about the colonoscopy. And we know there's other alternatives but they also involve stool. So that's still involving these uncomfortable conversations and these uncomfortable body parts and whatnot. Maybe those tests are still the best one. You know, your physician might still say, no, I think you need to do this test, or I think you need to do the colonoscopy. But if the knowledge that there is an option that they're comfortable with at least starts the discussion, then, you know, something like this begins to help the landscape in softer ways, mm-hmm. not just having an option that, you know, it's more accessible in so many ways. Geography, you don't have to be close to big facilities. We're more comfortable with the idea of donating blood. It can be done every year. You could potentially make it part of screening for younger and younger people. There's a lot of opportunities with this, but some of them are things that are soft, like we're talking about here, just the conversation.
And we make some jokes every once in a while. It's okay to, you know, have some fun jokes. And
absolutely,
what's the new one? We make everything colo healthy around here with colo health.
Yeah, colo healthy, and you don't have to ship it in a box. I can't do the jokes. I'm the worst joke teller ever. I'm like, I'll just mess it up. Just forget I said that.
Because stool is messy. We mess it up.
That's right. Exactly. On the one hand, the stigma is understandable, but on the other hand, it's, you know, like, this can save your life. So I love the idea of Jessica making it softer, making it a softer approach to say, let's do a blood test. And then if we have to move to, you know, confirmatory colonoscopy, then we have the more uncomfortable conversation. But let's start with just sitting on the couch. Right. we can move elsewhere after that. Right.
That's right. And you know, the doctor is going to know the best route, and they're going to be able to take the information and the result and make the best decision for their patient and consult with their patient properly. And it's all about getting info out there. You know, this is another tool in the toolbox. It's not the only tool, you know, and that's the whole goal. As Jessica said, more options gives that patient some comfort level that there is something I can do about these symptoms I'm feeling, you know, and it's not necessarily something that's going to be gross or uncomfortable. There are other options out there, and that's the whole goal. Create accessibility. If it's our test, great. If it's not our test, great. We want people to get screened. That's the whole goal.
I mean, the negative impact of this cancer is profound, as you started the conversation off with. We don't want to stop at one option or two options or even three options. We have got to, as a scientific community and as a public health community, keep coming at this problem from every possible direction with every possible solution. There are just too many people at risk that are not willing to get screened or don't know that they need to get screened. And then we need options. We need everything possible out there.
That is so someday, well said.
Yeah, someday we'll have that little Star Trek, you know, scanner, and we'll be able to do everything. But that's, you know, a couple hundred years in the future. So until then, we keep innovating and we keep iterating and we keep making improvements. You know, Jessica mentioned the threshold level. You know, it's a FDA reviewed it and said safe and effective. Well, we're going to make some improvements, and we're actually working on those already in our laboratories and in our research facilities to get far above that threshold, you know, an extra 10, 20% above that threshold if we can. So it's always about getting better results, getting better patient outcomes, and making better tools for the patient and the physician.
And not to jump backwards too much, but you just gave me a thought. You're making it clear that this is deemed safe and effective by the FDA, where the threshold cutoff that is not allowing it to be reimbursable is actually CMS. Mm-hmm. So the FDA and the CMS, you know, their guidelines and their expectations, like there's
a misalignment.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the word that I was looking for. And so that could be a really important thing to identify and go after. Is this 1% or 2% difference between these two things, is how many people are prevented from having a solution that they're comfortable with because of this small misalignment when the test has been deemed safe and effective by the FDA?
That sounds like a place where advocate voices
can be interesting. See, that's why we have these conversations. It's right. Raising awareness overall, right?
That's right. So yeah, I think that we need to fix that misalignment and straighten that road a little bit. So I'll take that under advisement. Exactly. How about that?
I love it.
Is there anything we have not talked about that you want to make sure that we cover in this conversation?
I would just say, you know, keep on the lookout, especially if you're here in sort of the East Tennessee region over the month of March. There's going to be news stories, social media stories, you know, keep your ear to the ground because this is coming in March. NewDayDiagnostics.com, ColoHealth, right? ColoHealthDX.com, is that the website? And let's make this happen.
Yeah, I love it. There'll be lots of information. It should be published any day now on our website. Certainly, you'll be able to follow us on our social media and find out more if you're interested in actually coming and getting screened with this test.
Awesome. I'll post links and all of that in the show notes so folks will be able to find it who are listening. And
perfect.
Hopefully they'll take you up on the test and get it done, because it could, the life that you save could be your own, quite frankly.
That's right. So
exactly.
Get
That's
the right. test done. Eric and Jessica, thank you so much for spending this time with me today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to you letting people hear more about ColoHealth and hopefully getting tested. But I know it, you know, meets a specific desire for me to spread the word about awareness and early detection and prevention. So I'm so happy we can have this conversation.
Well, thank you for having us. We always enjoy, Michael, our conversations with you, and we will continue this one because this one's really important.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Further Together, the ORAU podcast. To learn more about any of the topics discussed by our experts, visit www.orau.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn at ORAU, and on Instagram at ORAU Together. If you like Further Together, the ORAU podcast, we would appreciate you giving us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your reviews will help more people find the podcast.